Good evening and welcome to another Thursday night edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. We thank our fantastic Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Gus Counts with me here, Tom Counts, and coming up here on Care Radio tomorrow night. Okay, if you heard us earlier in the week, we've made a change. Tomorrow night, we're going to be in Troy, Kansas, as it'll be an NEKL football game between Mariel Mount Academy and the Trojans. Originally, we had a different game set up for you, but due to getting officials and so forth around, that game is pushed to Saturday, so we're going to have Mariel Mount Academy at Troy tomorrow night on Care. Then Saturday, it's going to be an early departure, as we're going to make the trip over to Canton, Missouri, Benedictine and Culver Stockton. I believe that is a noon game. So it's going to be an early 11:30 in the morning pregame show, and we'll have that for you Saturday, Benedictine and Culver Stockton. Well, Gus, last week, looking around, a lot of great high school football games, and maybe with a couple of exceptions, there were a boatload of points scored. I mean, points getting scored last week.
Yeah, a lot of points scored. A couple close games, but not many close games last week if you look up and down it. And let's just start right here at home in the Meadowlark League is Atchison. Puts up, I feel like they do this every week, right? 63 points and defeat Schlegel 63-14. But you talk about that offense for Jim Smith and the Atchison Phoenix. In week one, we saw them against Ottawa. They scored 31. That has been their lowest output of the year, 31 points in week one. Then they've gone on to score 47, 63, and 72 points. So, I think the offense knows what they're doing there, right?
No question about that.
But the defense hasn't been bad either. They've given up. They blanked one team. They've given up 14, 20, and 24 points this season. So, again, scoring a lot of points, not giving up a whole lot of scores, that's usually a recipe to win a lot of games.
Yeah, and when you look across the state of Kansas, part of the reason why is you've got Jesse Greenlee rolling up yardage. Jesse is in the top running backs in the state of Kansas right now, and after four games, 620 yards. I mean, you're talking over, what, 150, 155 a game. That's nice.
And, you know, next week we'll be talking a little more about Atchison versus Highland Park, but what, Highland Park's, is it Trey Richardson? He's like top two in passing or top five in passing and maybe top five in rushing in the state.
Trey Richardson right now through four games, 896 yards of rushing. That's a pretty good start, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's like right up there, I believe, in passing as well. So, you know, but we'll kind of jump into those next week. But, yeah, there are some really good athletes in that Meadowlark League.
Yeah, Keyshawn Johnson for Highland Park, 528 yards of throwing a football. So, yeah, pretty outstanding offenses. And the numbers reflect that. Atchison, 63 points last week as they just buried Schlegel at home.
Highland Park knocked off Harmon 74-0. Wamego beat Washington 51-16. And it was Sumner defeating Wyandotte in what had to be a fantastic game. 27-26, Sumner over Wyandotte.
If you're a Scotty, just how happy are you that you've joined the Meadowlark League this year?
Oh, yeah, you're thrilled, right?
Aren't you just tickled? I mean, Oof. Aren't you absolutely thrilled beyond measure right now?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt.
After years of struggling and no success to get into a group that you're very competitive with and to be able to win a bunch of games. So Highland Park doing well also. And in EKL, man, we went down to Easton and saw a tremendous battle. It came down to the very, very end of the game. Pleasant Ridge was able to prevail over Mariel Mount Academy 36-31.
Yeah, that was a game where Pleasant Ridge, it looked like they were maybe going to be able to salt that thing away, and then they fumbled the football. Mariel Mount Academy did their best to try to get down and get that last score and come away with the win. But, again, played really well, and how many times do we talk about it? This time of year, you're into districts. If you're going to lose, lose close.
Yeah, and that's not what the Tigers did, because they played district game against and at a very good Rossville team. To be able to say Rossville's very good, you don't have to do a ton of research. You just say, every year, you just say Rossville's really good.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you just kind of know that coming into this season that Rossville is always going to be very competitive. And for the Tigers, you're just thrilled that it was capped at 3 touchdowns,
yep,
right?
Yep, so you max out the numbers and you move on for the Tigers. And for Jefferson County North, more big numbers, 54 for the Chargers.
Yeah, knocking off McLouth and what was a short little road trip for them, 54-18. And JZN still looking really good at this time of the year.
Mission Valley, a 24-16 winner at home over Valley Falls. It was Riverside getting beyond Jackson Heights, 28-12. And then, Gus, a pair of, let's call them, substantial wins.
Yeah, a couple really good teams too, right? You talk about Nemaha Central knocking off Horton and St. Mary's defeating Oskaloosa. So you talk about some good teams that are going to find themselves being talked about in, you know, mid-November.
Yeah, and we were talking about ACCHS, and even though they had a little bit of a struggle, I'll tell you what, they're still playing some really good football. And
yeah, what, the Tigers fall to, I believe, 3-1, but the 21-point deficit hurts them right now. They are listed as going to be listed as the last team in their district at the moment. But when it's all said and done, they're going to make their way back up and, you know, get over that little bump.
Yeah, Bryson Lee still, you know, in the state leaders also in throwing the ball, 430-plus yards over the course of the season so far. So ACCHS, they're going to be there when this hunt is all over with. It's a marathon here. And while we're talking about having gone or are going to be going to Troy, how about Reagan Hartman for Troy? 846 yards of passing so far this year. So we're going to see him airing that out a little bit Friday night.
Yeah, I like to put the football in the air. Hey, games going on this weekend. In the Meadowlark League, Atchison will travel down to Washington. Highland Park going to go out of state. They're going to take on Lincoln Prep. Sumner will be at Schlegel. Harmon at Wyandotte.
Yeah, NEKL, we mentioned Troy, their quarterback throwing the ball around, but he's not throwing it around as much as Mark Harris is. Mark Harris with 727 passing yards already this season, and that's not four, that's in three games, okay?
Yeah.
So you can do a little quick math there. He's got to be per game among the state leaders.
Last week had to really help, right? He has, you know, touchdowns of like 70 and 60 yards. I mean, just like big passes that his guys were able to take to the house. So, yeah, Mark Harris is right amongst the state leaders when it comes to passing yards.
Yep, and Cy Wallace, again, tips us off that Pleasant Ridge at ACCHS is going to be a Saturday game. So if you want to watch a Friday football game, want to watch a Saturday high school game, you can go out to Effingham and Tiger Stadium and watch that one. Centralia is going to be at Jackson Heights. You're going to have Jeff North at home with Oskaloosa. Valley Falls hosting St. Mary's. It'll be Mission Valley entertaining McLouth. And Horton, they're not going to the Twin Cities. It's a different Minneapolis.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd little way to draw that circle of, you know, district. But they do.
Minneapolis, Kansas may have a Twin City. I don't know.
Talk about JCN over the last 2 weeks. McLouth last week, Oskaloosa this week. I mean, the bus trips don't get any shorter than those.
Tell you what, we're going to talk about Benedictine, and they had a great bus trip. They got to stay in the Omino last Saturday, and they entertained Graceland, and I guess the final score may not even be as indicative. A 40-point win, felt like they won by even more than that, as they were so far ahead so early in that game, it was never a contest.
Yeah, they came out hitting right away, right? They hit some big passes right away. Jay Sean Todd was able to put together a great game, and I mean, when you look at it, I think, what, at halftime we were talking about Garrett Kettle was one touchdown pass away from tying his record and two away from re-breaking his record. You know, the Ravens were just pretty dominant. Kettle, 294 yards passing, 5 touchdowns was good enough for conference player of the week.
And that was just barely in a half of football.
Yeah. Jacob Gathright, listen to these numbers. Gathright, 3 catches, 116 yards. Jayshon, 3 catches, 98 yards. I mean, like, imagine if they would have had to catch more passes in that ball game.
And you got a kick return for a touchdown also in there for Jayshon. So.
Yep. Jayshon had an 86-yard touchdown on a kickoff return. And then you get Harry O'Neill into the contest, and he got a 22-yard kickoff return the other day. You had, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 interceptions against Grayson. I mean, So when you break it down and you talk to Coach Osborne before the game on Saturday, there's not going to be a whole lot that they look at and say, wow, I wasn't happy with this.
No, it was a good Saturday. A lot of other games went on around the Heart of America Athletic Conference Saturday.
Yeah, William Penn went to Marshall and won 21-10. Clark went to Baldwin City and came away with a 20-19 victory. And for Clark, easy to say it is. That's the biggest win in program history.
No question about that. And, you know, and that's not necessarily saying a lot. They haven't had any real life.
Right. That's why I can, you know, go out on that limb because, what, they've only been playing football for 4 years maybe now. So Culver Stockton, who we're going to see Saturday afternoon, they went to Central Methodist, knocked off the Eagles 26-7. Grandview thumped Evangel 27-7 in Mid-America. How about that? Peru State coming off a win over Baker, then turn around and fall flat on their face to Mid-America. The Nazarene Pioneers win 21-19 over the Bobcats. So, again, handful of good games. And now, this week is kind of that interesting week. This will spell the last week of out-of-division games.
Yeah. And then we're going to get the bye week, and then the games that really count, and they're of substance for the postseason and all that come into play.
Yep, Benedictine at Culver Stockton is the only noon game in the conference. The 1 o'clock slate will see Mid-America at Clark, Missouri Valley at Grandview. That could get ugly quick. The 2 o'clock games, Evangel will be at Peru State, Central Methodist will be at William Penn, and Baker will travel up to Graceland for homecoming, and I'm going to say they're going to take out a frustration of losing three straight games. On the Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, Wildcats will get straight a little bit, at least. Hey, we got lots more coming up, and we'll be back. Sports Hook continues right after this. We've got Aaron Hauser with us, member of the coaching staff for the Benedictine Ravens. Coach, how are you today? Good to talk to you, man.
I'm doing well, man. I appreciate you reaching out. Just getting ready. It's a rainy Friday before the game, so hopefully it clears up a little bit and we're good to go tomorrow.
Well, let's start off with a little Aaron Hauser bio. You are one of the guys who's probably most traveled and has quite a extensive background in football and coaching. Tell me, first of all, about home. Where are you from?
Yeah, for sure. I come from San Diego, North County San Diego, in a town called San Marcos. I graduated in 2010 from high school, so I'm 30 years old. After I was done playing in high school, I went on to Northern Arizona University and played there for a bit, in Flagstaff, Arizona. And I graduated from NAU in 2014 with a business degree. Returned back to California, back to San Diego after graduating, and I coached for my father, who was my high school head football coach at Mission Hills High School. So I coached for 4 full seasons as a high school coach, and I was teaching math and did a little bit of special ed. And then decided that I love ball, but wasn't in love with the classroom part of it. And so I went into the college ranks and found myself at a small school in the middle of Iowa, in the middle of nowhere, called Waldorf University, and coached receivers there for 2 years. And then Coach Wilcox here at Benedictine, going into his last season, which I didn't know at the time, interviewed me to take the receiver's job here and replace the retiring Coach Denny Murphy. And so I've been here ever since. This is my 3rd season going on this year, and I'm the recruiting coordinator and receivers coach. Yep.
So let's talk about, you know, your early football days. Obviously, you were a player back in San Diego. What was your position? Tell me a little bit about your team.
Yeah, so I was a quarterback in high school. I was a 5'10 run around southpaw quarterback. And I also played receiver and returned kicks. So I had that background as well, but I was an offensive guy. As a young high school kid, freshman JV, I was a quarterback, and we were 19-1 while I was a quarterback as a young kid. We had a really good class. And then when I got to varsity as a junior, I made the transition to receiver because we had a senior quarterback who ended up going to the University of Montana to play quarterback. So that was my first year truly being full-time wide receiver. And then my senior year, went back to quarterback, unfortunately got hurt. I broke my arm my first game of my senior year at quarterback on a naked rollout pass play. And so that was a big bummer as a senior in high school. And I beat the doctor's estimate by 3 weeks and returned, again, really kind of against his recommendation. I casted it up my left arm and returned as a wide receiver and finished my high school career at receiver. So kind of battled through a little bit there. But, yeah, so I have early background both at quarterback and receiver when I was young.
So then did you go on to play collegiate football?
Yeah, I went on to Northern Arizona, which is an FCS school in Flagstaff, Arizona, and played there for a little bit and then kind of transitioned more into like a coaching role, you know. I was just a scout team guy. I never got to play on Saturdays. Probably realistically for my skill set, I probably should have gone to a lower level school for me to probably have been more successful on the field collegiately. However, I don't have really any regrets. I really, really enjoyed NAU and my time there. I met my best friends in the world as well. So, really enjoyed that. And then, you know, obviously stayed, you know, with the game as I moved back to California and coached at the high school ranks, like I said, with my dad. And we were really good too when I was coaching back in the high school level. I mean, we were one of the best teams in the state of California. Was fortunate enough to coach some really good ones. And then, you know, transitions into a college coach, and that's when the recruiting part of it, you know, started coming to play, obviously.
So if I were to ask you who your real football inspiration was, I'm thinking that your dad's top of that list.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, you know, I grew up in a football family. So, you know, Saturdays were college and Sundays were NFL, and Friday nights, there's nothing like Friday Night Lights. So, you know, ever since I was young, I mean, I was a ball boy since I was 8 years old, you know, playing with my friends on the sidelines, watching my dad coach. So, I mean, it's just ingrained in me. Always has been. My mom is a big football fan as well. I think you need to have that in a football family. Is the gals also have to be pretty dialed in. So, with that world, but you know, I think that, growing up with football and doing it, you know, as long as I have, when you love it as much as I do, you know, it just seems like the right fit to do what I'm doing for a living now. You know what I mean? So, my dad's definitely my biggest inspiration. I mean, you know, he's been doing it for a long time. He's probably getting near the tail end of his career finally, but, just his work ethic and, you know, how much care he has for his players and the discipline and the culture that he has created at our high school. I mean, you know, really everything I've learned is coming from him, you know, and then obviously picking up on other things that I've learned since I've been out in the Midwest from other really good coaches at the collegiate level too. So it's been a good mix for me being a West Coast guy out here, kind of bringing a different flavor for sure to the staff and to the team.
Visiting with Aaron Hauser, member of the Benedictine football staff. So being a San Diego guy, Chargers fan, I guess?
Used to be. Once they packed it up and left up to L.A., that kind of broke my heart. So I guess there's supposed to be a San Diego-Los Angeles rivalry, but L.A. gets the better of us in pretty much every sport that there is. So, you know, I got a lot of pride in San Diego. I got a lot of pride of where I'm from. I'm a Padres fan still, but Chargers not as much anymore. You know what I mean? So just a fan of the game, really.
Okay, for some of us who are less traveled than you are, all you hear is the finest weather on the planet is in San Diego. Is there anything to that? Is it really right?
Yeah, that's 100%. You know, they call it the AFC, America's Finest City, for a reason. You know, it's a special place down there. It's isolated, you know. Camp Pendleton to the north, which is the largest Marine base in the United States. So that's just north of North County, San Diego. So it kind of divides San Diego and L.A. It's this massive, you know, Marine base. And then obviously to the south, you have the border, you know, into Mexico. And then, you know, to the east, you have the desert, which eventually you can travel far enough and run into Tucson and Phoenix and Arizona. But you know, that's a ways out. And then obviously to the west, you have the Pacific Ocean. So it's a very isolated area, which is, I think, what makes it such a special place. And I guess you don't really know how good you have it until you, you leave and you go from, you go to, you know, the Kansas City greater area, and it's 100 degrees on Tuesday and then, you know, 60 degrees on Wednesday. You get a 40 degree difference this week in a couple days or whatever it was. So that, I'm more accustomed to that now, but you don't even realize that that's what the real world's like if you live in San Diego your whole life. So
now you talk about you left, of course, you know, the fabulous weather in your home area in California, and you end up in the Midwest. How in the world do you travel halfway across the continent? What's that story?
Yeah, I mean, when I was coaching for my dad for those handful of years, that's when I got the itch to get to the next level. And, you know, to be honest, there's a lot of, obviously, Southern California has so many great high school football programs, but there's not a lot of college programs, you know, not nearly as much as there is in the Midwest. And so when starting to search for avenues to get into college coaching, I ended up connecting with a gentleman. His name was Josh Littrell. He now lives in San Antonio, Texas, coaching high school ball, but Coach Littrell was at Waldorf and he had just gotten there, and he and I had connected, and he kind of found me, and I found him. And so we went through the interview process, and I ended up taking a bit of a leap of faith and moving to Forest City, Iowa, you know, a school that only has 400 people attending the school in a town of probably not even 2,000 people, you know, 45 miles from a Walmart, you know. So you talk about the culture shock. That was the culture shock right there, you know, to getting out and doing that. But I knew it was a business trip. I knew what I was doing. I was passionate about it, and we won a lot of games. We were successful. So moving to Atchison and being at Benedictine was a huge upgrade for me in terms of what this school represents and this football program, and locationally being right next door to Kansas City. So I'm 100% at home, you know what I mean? Even though I still love being able to go back home and see San Diego and see my family and friends, for sure.
Well, during your time at Waldorf, I didn't know, was there an overlap? Did you know Coach Finley?
Yes. My last year at Waldorf was Coach Finley's first year. So we coached together for a year. He's a good friend of mine. He was the defensive coordinator when I was the receivers coach for that 1 year. So when I left to come to Benedictine, I left, and then Coach Littrell, the former head coach there, ended up leaving probably a month or two right after me. I don't remember exactly the date. And then that's when Coach Finley was promoted. So I was only at Benedictine, and this was 2020. This was COVID, you know, so I was at Benedictine, but we weren't doing much yet. This was when the whole country was in lockdown. And that's when Finley was promoted, and I was here kind of getting ready to go. So I do have a great relationship with Coach Finley. I got a lot of respect for what he does up there, and how he orchestrates his program and runs it. He does a phenomenal job. So definitely proud to have come from there and have been able to coach with him. And, you know, that was great.
Aaron Hauser with us, a member of the BC football staff, kind of getting to know him. Coach, let's say you're traveling across the Midwest, or you're driving to California, and you're riding along in your car. What are you listening to? You got the go-to podcast? You're on an audio book? What do you got going on?
Yeah, I'm a pretty diverse guy, man. I'm a reggae guy, believe it or not. I guess that's the San Diego in me. So I'm a pretty laid-back guy off the field. The receivers, you know, and the coaching staff here know that pretty low key once you step off the turf. I guess that's the West Coast blood in me, but I'm a reggae guy, but, I'm a music guy for sure. I love music, all genres. So I'm all over the map, but I usually turn the volume up and I like driving. I haven't had to drive all the way to the West Coast recently. I've been in the air to do it, but out on the road recruiting and things like that. I'm on the phone quite a bit doing that to set up appointments and check boxes and find things out and do that. But if I'm not on the phone, I'm usually on the music. I'm a music guy, so that's kind of the route I take.
So do you have a special talent? Do you have a musical ability, or do you, you know, have some kind of a skill
No.
that we don't even know about?
I'm not a musical. I don't have any musical ability. I just enjoy it. My talent, I guess, was that when I was in college, as I was kind of wrapping up my collegiate career, both as a student and an athlete, and transitioning to being a high school coach, there was about three or four winters in a row where I was a professional snowboarder and professional snowboard instructor. So I got really, really good on a snowboard for a little part of my life there. So that's probably the big secret. My kids know that, but that's probably the big secret that I have, is that I was pretty good at snowboarding and riding. And I would travel between a few different states. I'd travel through Colorado a lot, New Mexico, Utah. And then where I went to school at NAU, there's actually a ski resort about 25, 30 minutes from campus, pretty big one. So it was easy for us to escape and do that. So I was able to get on a board about 100 times a year, which is how that started to happen, and I started taking it seriously. So I have a little bit of that in my world, in my life, in my resume, for sure.
So when you got downtime, and I know as a coach and with a family, there's not much of that, but do you have a hobby? Is there something that you do? I mean, do you collect figurines? Do you make chips in a bottle? What do you do in your time?
Well, I recently got engaged to Teddy Cerna. She lives in St. Joe right now, and I live in Atchison, so we kind of bounce back and forth between two places every night. Teddy, she played soccer at Mo West. And so our biggest hobby together is probably travel, to be honest. If we do have the opportunity, that's what we like to do, to get out and do things like that. See different people. Her mom lives in Tampa Bay in Florida. My parents live in, obviously, San Diego. So we can go either direction, you know what I mean, and get to the coast. So we try to do that. I have friends spread out across the country, whether it's Texas or Arizona or Vegas or you know, and obviously my Southern California ties, and then she's got family in Omaha and Florida and along the East Coast. So we try to travel as much as we can. We both try to stay in pretty good shape. I don't think I'm a superstar athlete, but I try to, I try to stay in as best shape as I can too, and so does she. So whether that means running or lifting or doing some kind, you know what I mean? So we'll do a lot of stuff like that, and we're young, you know, I'm 30, she's 29, so we're pretty aggressive in terms of our work right now. You know, we're both, our hobbies are right now is being good at work and spending time with people that we love, you know what I mean?
So we set a date?
Yes, June 10th, next year, June 10th, it'll be out in Temecula, which is just north of San Diego, just kind of in there from the coast. In an area called the Inland Empire. Really nice area, Temecula, Marietta. It's like wine country, so it's at a vineyard out there. So we're excited.
Outstanding. One last question. Childhood sports hero.
That's a good question. Growing up a Chargers fan, my era was LaDainian Tomlinson, you know. So that would have been one of the guys. Another guy that I was big on was Reggie Bush, growing up kind of a USC fan and him being a San Diego guy. And he's not that much older than me, but, you know, that was a guy that was really on top of the world, you know what I mean, coming out of high school and staying in California. Junior Seau was a big one. Junior Seau was a big one coming from he lived in San Diego, you know, went to high school there, then played at, you know, USC and then return to the San Diego Chargers. So you talk about like a hometown hero type of guy for us, you know. And then, you know, I was a baseball guy too. So, you know, grew up watching Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoffman on the mound. So, you know, I'm definitely pretty loyal to my San Diego roots, if you can't catch the drift. And some people will hate me for saying this, but the guy that I love still to this day is Tom Brady. I'm one of those guys. Just the way that he has competed the way he has for as long as he has is amazing to me. When I turn on the TV and I get a chance to watch him, I will. You know what I mean? So I just love how he competes and how he gets people to play for him. And he might not be the flashiest guy, especially anymore, but I love how he, you know, motivates his guys and doesn't take it from anybody. And the biggest stat to me is winning, and he's the king of winning. So, you know what I mean?
Coach Hauser, we really appreciate you taking the time. I know it's a busy schedule. You've been doing a great job with these Ravens, and we're all very glad that you decided to come to Atchison and join this Benedictine staff, and couldn't be happier that it's been such a great fit for you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. I'm happy to be here, and hopefully we can keep you know, putting a great product on the field and continuing to help these kids, you know, on and off the field. It's a great group of kids. You know, they're really passionate, they're hardworking, they're loyal, you know, and they care a lot about the community and the team and the school. So as long as we keep getting out there and giving it our best every week, I think we're going to be in good shape, you know. So
Aaron Hauser, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it, and go Ravens.
Thank you. Go Ravens. I'll talk with you soon.
Hey, great to have you back with us here on Sports Look. We've had a nice chance to visit with some of the people around the area talking sports. We love our interviews during the program. And Gus, if you're a Chiefs fan, you don't love last Sunday. That stunk.
Yeah, a little bit.
Or did
right?
It stink? What is it? Past tense of stunk? Is that it was just bad. Whatever.
It was just ugly, right? Like, and watching that game again, I rarely doubt the skills of Patrick Mahomes, right? Like, you can see a Chiefs game and it's ugly, and you can say, yeah, but they'll find a way to win it. I just felt like that game had no rhythm to it, right? Like, it just was choppy. I felt like, and I don't know about your TV, maybe this is just a me TV thing, but I know you love me TV.
I watch me TV
anyway,
all the time.
But, like, the picture was funny because of the roof and things like that. I felt like the whole thing was not pretty. And kickers. You're going to just...
What can you say?
Just hit the carousel and find a new one this week, and they have. So they're going to bring in a new kicker this week, and it'll be a former Jacksonville kicker, so he's at least got a lot of practice kicking.
Danny Amendola, I thought, was better than this. I mean, was it just the newness? Is he just done?
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Rex Ryan say something to the effect of, yeah, we're pretty used to seeing him kick like that. So I'm like, yeah, well... All right. At least he came through in the Chargers game. That was a divisional game. You know, if you're going to lose one, lose it to the Colts on the road, you'll be fine.
Yeah. And again, what you've got to do is, we talked about it in high school. We're going to talk about it right here. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You are not going to go 17-0. Yeah. I mean, you're going to lose a couple of games. Now, while this is not one that you thought that you might lose, in fact, the one coming up is one that you thought, if you're going to have a problem, might be that one with Tom Brady. But all that means is now you got to buckle down, double down, and get this win.
Yeah, and I don't know if you paid attention to kind of the talk around this game right now. It's interesting, right? So you've seen the defense for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers talking about how good they are and how this will be a coming out party because they think this offensive line is not any better than the one that was in the championship game a couple years ago. I'm telling you, you know that 15 will lock that stuff away and it'll just be one of those things. Andy Reid is, how about this for a fun stat? This is a baseball type stat, okay? When going against the number one scoring defense, Andy Reid is 9-2. So Tampa Bay is the leading scoring defense in the NFL. So just for a fun stat that, you know, he tends to figure out these type of games.
Now, you could say that, and while I would agree that the offensive line is improved, yet I'm having major trepidations about Orlando.
Yeah, I think the Orlando Brown was one of those guys who prior to the season said, I'm going to double down, I'm going to bet on myself instead of taking the money that Kansas City was offering. And can I tell you, he's still playing the premier position, that left tackle. You're still going to get paid by somebody. But he hasn't played well enough to get the top of the market and reset the market, if you will. And that's what he wants to do. And I just don't think at this point he has. But the advantage is still a lot of football left to be played, and he's got a shot to do it. But I'm telling you, doing this in primetime games, not blocking well, you know, having your quarterback running for his life, it's not going to get you paid.
That also will lead me into a brief conversation about Frank Clark, who made a silly mistake. He's admitted it.
Oh, Chris Jones.
Chris Jones. I don't know if people really change anything or if you just admit it and you still keep doing it. But however, I think whether it is Chris Jones or if it's Orlando Brown or a lot of these guys, and I think it's like an NFL thing. I think it's like a big-time sports thing. I think it's an ego thing. No matter how you played last week, Put me on primetime, I'm a different man.
Yeah, it seems like when the lights flick on, yeah. And you know that everybody, because all those guys that played the noon game or the 3 o'clock game, they're getting home, they're watching the game, and
you know your
all
peers.
The eyes yeah. are on you right now. And it seems like Chris Jones shines when that happens. I mean, he is one of those guys that when the lights come on, he is ready to go. Again, I think this could be a good bounce-back game for the Chiefs, and that game is going to be played at Raymond James. I don't know if I'd say floored, but I'm pretty shocked by it. I really figured that it would have to be played somewhere else. Just, you know, if not for around the stadium, more so the assets that you're tying up for this game, you know,
yeah.
could be put to better use.
That all said, Tampa is going to be at home. It is tough place to play against a quality team and two great teams getting together here. And I tell you what, when you're said and done, it's a toss-up. And it officially is a toss-up with a 45 over-under.
Yeah. Tonight, though, we should have a fun game.
This is going to be a fun game. And the beauty of it for me is I got no dog in this hunt.
Yeah. I will tell you, I'm excited to see the Bengals' new uniforms. They're going to bust out the white helmet.
The white
tonight.
Helmet?
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of it.
They're going to bust out the white helmet tonight, so we should see how that works out. The Dolphins have been playing really well, and Tua, with that back injury that gives you concussion-like symptoms, yeah. is supposed to play tonight, so we'll see how that goes. When it's all said and done, I think this thing's a shootout. I think it'll be fun. I think it'll be right up to the very end, and again, yeah, I don't really care who wins.
Yeah, you know, and then you go into Sunday and you got the Bills. What in the world happened last week? I mean, the whole, all kinds of, whole West loses. I mean, all these teams that you think are going to win did not.
Yeah, and I think for the Bills, they kind of ran into that double-edged sword of, you know how offensive coaches love to run a lot of plays? And the Bills did that. They ran like 90 plays to the Dolphins' 50 plays, okay? I really think that wore them out. I think in that Miami Sun, it wasn't good. And I just think that when it came down to crunch time and you had to execute, they just didn't have anything left. So I think that's really what happened to that. They're going to get the Ravens this week. And I'm going to tell you, Lamar Jackson looks like a, you know, NFL MVP right now. Season's still early, but a guy who his team can't ask any more of him. He accounts for 85% of the offense right now. That's just ridiculous, especially in college football. You tell me 8-man football, a guy accounts for 85%, I'll say, yeah, probably, you know, but that's just ridiculous.
Ravens fans got to hope that he stays very, very healthy.
He's going to get a huge payday, too, at the end of the season.
Oh, no doubt about that. Broncos at Raiders.
Somebody's
probably
got
no two worst teams. It might be fun because I don't care for either one of them, and I don't care who loses. If they could both lose, it would be a good day.
Leave it to these two. They could probably tie. Yeah, it's the Raiders, Broncos, neither one look good right now. If you're a Chiefs fan or a Chargers fan, you're thrilled that the Raiders spent a lot of money on, you know, Davante Adams, and you're really just over the moon that the Broncos signed Russell Wilson to such a long contract because, again, you watch some of the highlights, you're like, I'm not even sure what Russell Wilson's looking at. It's like he's just kind of out there collecting a check. The Broncos look terrible.
Rams are going to be at the 49ers for your Monday night edition, and here's the deal. I thought the Rams are going to be really, really good. They've disappointed me. I thought the 49ers are going to be pretty middle of the road and maybe are a little bit better than I think. And in fact, at home, they are going to be that typical home favorite, you know, a couple of points.
Yeah, I think when it comes down to it, it could be an interesting game, another divisional rivalry right there. And again, Rams need to get, you know, things figured out with that offense right now.
Yeah, but I'm much more interested in NCAA football on Saturday. And the game has got to be Iowa State at Kansas. Iowa State absolutely annihilated him, embarrassed him in Ames a year ago. KU's going to be remembering that. This is not the same Kansas team that you remember from your childhood.
Yeah.
This team is very capable, and if I'm Iowa State, man, I'm tightening up my shoelaces.
Yeah, you know, this Kansas team, I'm not saying that they're going to be a top-10 team, but prior to the season, we talked about Kansas and that we expected them to not win a whole bunch of games, but we expected them to at least, like, play competitively in a lot of these games and not lose by 45 every week. But, you know, you lose, but you lose by 10, 14, but you were in it kind of till the end type thing. And, This Kansas team, I mean, they're just come out throwing haymakers right away.
You know what this Kansas team is? It's a bowl team.
It's right there, right?
It's going to be a bowl team.
I mean, I really do. I think that it'll be tough for Kansas to miss a bowl right now.
How many KU fans are traveling to a bowl? Everyone. All of them that didn't get there.
Yeah, and if you're Bill Self, you're thinking, man, I hope we don't play that weekend.
T-Tech is going to be at number 25 Kansas State Saturday morning. It's an 11 o'clock ball game. K-State, an 8-point favorite, but Tech is not to be overlooked.
Yeah, Tech is one of those teams that can sneak up on you, right? So for Kansas State, they boggle my mind. You lose at home to Tulane. You go to Norman, and we talked about last week that kind of thought they could win at Norman because they've beat Oklahoma 3 of the last 4 years. But again, K-State back home with Texas Tech, this is the kind of game that could let them down. But I also think that Kansas playing as well as it has kind of ups Kansas State's game a little bit because they don't want to be the little brother right now.
KU and K-State are both having, the key I think to both of them, they're both having fantastic quarterback play.
Yep.
You also have Oklahoma State at Baylor, a couple of nationally ranked teams. That's going to be the 2:30 game on Saturday. Kentucky at Ole Miss. I hear Ole Miss is also going to debut maybe a different uniform.
What? They partnered up with like a camouflage company, like Realtree. Yeah, and so kind of looks cool.
You've got Arkansas at home. They've got a job hosting at number 2 Bama, but there's the SEC. Anything can happen on the road. And North Carolina State at Clemson. Clemson is not to be slighted either. I think that they're probably better than you think.
Yeah, but with that being said, I think NC State goes to Clemson, and I mean, I think they beat the brakes off them and take Howard's Rock on the way out. I think NC State wins this thing and run away.
Wrapping up a couple of things, Aaron Judge, 61, no asterisk for him.
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw it. Roger Maris' son was at the game with Aaron Judge's mom. They sat together.
How cool.
It was a really cool moment. And then after the game, you know, he congratulated Aaron Judge, and he even said it. He said, you know, in his mind, this is the only player that has ever tied his father, and this is the true home run race.
Does he get 62?
Yeah, yeah, and I think he probably does it pretty quickly. You know, I think, you know, by Monday, he probably gets to 62.
Here's the thing.
Just because the pressure's off right now.
Every at-bat, isn't he just, like, going full crank?
Yeah. And now the only thing that might change is that the Yankees have locked up their playoff spot. The playoffs will start here in about a week. So you talk to Aaron and say, hey, are you happy with 61? Do you want 62? Where are you at? Because he's a guy who needs rest. He gets hurt quite often. Like, you know, I wouldn't also be shocked if he says, hey, 61's pretty cool. Let's stay here and he, you know,
sit down
a couple days at least.
There you go. Hey, we're not going to have any time to sit around because we got a lot of football coming up here on K-Radio. You and I are going to be up in Troy, Kansas tomorrow night. Mar Hill Mount Academy at Troy, 7 o'clock kickoff from there. And then Saturday at noon with an 11:30 a.m. pregame show here on K-R. Benedictine at Culver Stockton, last game of the first half of the season before they have the open date. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff, or excuse me, a 12 noon kickoff, 11:30 a.m. pregame Saturday, Benedictine at Culver. Our sport look sponsors are fantastic. Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Tim, we greet you from the football stadiums this weekend. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch, so long, everybody.